You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Romans 12. That would be apropos, appropriate. Romans chapter 12. It better be good after that, yeah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. You know, this really is our theme or our motto, or, you know, it's become our slogan for Hallelujah Night, and you see it on the back of all these T-shirts, Romans 12, 21. I think it'd be appropriate to minister along those lines this morning. That it's real simple. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, you know, and that's just real simplistic. I know it almost sounds kindergarten, but there's such a truth and such a power in that that the world misses it. They just miss it because it's too simple. You know, the world wants vengeance. The world wants to get back, and the world wants to destroy people that don't believe like they do. And, you know, that's what separates us, Christianity, from the Muslim faith. We're not out killing Muslims because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Muslims, on the other hand, do that. You say, well, not all of them do. Well, no, but I mean, Muhammad did, and the religion started that way, and that's what it stood for, and that's in the Quran. But you don't find that in the Bible. You can't, as a Christian, go out and just kill people because they don't believe like you do. Because that's not what we're about. In fact, really, over and over, the Bible talks about us doing good and forgiving and loving. You know, I've been teaching on that for a couple of weeks. In fact, if you back up in that verse, that's the 21st verse. Notice the 19th. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't respond in like kind. Don't fight fire with fire. When people do you wrong, don't do them wrong. You know, you pray for them. This is the great challenge of Christianity, it really is. The great challenge of Christianity to me is not to believe in Jesus. We do that. I mean, I've done that. The great challenge is to live the life. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved by what Jesus did. But the challenge for me is to live the life. And to step out on it, step out and really do what he says, to really pray for people and really forgive people and really work on my pride. You know, we can say, well, I don't murder and I don't rob banks, but yeah, but do you have pride? Do you have anger? Do you have things that you need to work on? And I think we'd all have to say, well, yeah, maybe, yeah, yeah. We ought to work on that. Well, the good news is you can. The good news is that you can't overcome. But you can't overcome by just being neutral. You can't overcome by not entering into the fray or the battle. You can't overcome by doing nothing. He didn't say doing nothing would overcome evil. He said be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah. Amen. So we can't be passive. Christianity is not a passive religion. It's an aggressive thing. We aggressively pursue the things of God. We pray for people. We stand up for Jesus. We love people. We forgive people. We help people. We do something. Amen? You know, it says don't give place to anger. Give place to wrath. In other words, what he's saying, don't respond in like kind. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Amen. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. If someone was cold, you'd take coals of fire and take it to them and warm them. Some people say, yeah, if you'll do good to them, that's the worst thing that can happen to them. You do good, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. Well, that's just completely out of context what he's talking about. He's saying that's a good thing. Coals of fire on their head was a good thing. That wasn't symbolic of hell. You know, if you do good to them, I'll make sure they go to hell. That's not what God's saying. He said, if you'll do good, then you'll be blessing them. You'll be putting coals of fire on their head to take to their home on a cold, wintry day. That's what that meant. All right. And then he says, 21st verse, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Love it. See, that's really what Hallelujah Night's about, is we decided to overcome it. Oh, you know, I like to say that. We're not celebrating Halloween. We're overcoming Halloween. We overcome it. I've been accused of that, and people have accused us. I've gotten, you know, nasty emails, you know, how dare you, how shameful as Christians, as a church, you would celebrate Halloween. Well, obviously, they don't even know what we're about because we don't celebrate Halloween. We're actually overcoming Halloween. with Hallelujah Night. This is not Halloween. This is Hallelujah Night. It's on all the t-shirts. It's on all the brochures, the sacks. It's on all the booths. It's when you come in, it's Hallelujah Night. We've taken over something that the devil had his day on. And he's lost his day in our city. He's lost his day in our town. He's lost his day on this grounds, on these holy, sacred grounds here. This is Hallelujah Night. We've overcome it with good.
Amen.
Now, we weren't passive. We didn't ignore it. We could have, and it'd be easy to do that, just to, ignore it. But you don't overcome evil by ignoring evil. You overcome evil by doing good. You know what? I often hear people say, "Well, I'm just so upset with this, the way the world's going. I'm so upset with the way this is going." It just bothers me that people do this and people do that. It bothers me too. A lot of things bother me. But the question is, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
And that's a good question to ask ourselves in life, when we're frustrated with things, people, maybe even ourselves. We've got to do something to overcome the evil. You've got to do something. Years ago we used to do Hallelujah Night, just for our kids. And that was good. That's great. We had a little alternative. We'd do it in our children's church, they dress up and we'd pass out candy. And then one day, just one year, Brenda and Kay Galloway got together and talked about doing something, for the community. And so we decided, that'd be a good thing. Let's just have an alternative, something safe for kids to come to where they can hear about Jesus and they can get prizes and candy and all that stuff, but find out they can have fun serving Jesus. And I love this. Butch Bruton, a pastor friend of mine, you all know him, he pastors New Life Church in Cattle Mills. He has a saying. He says, if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. And I believe that. I don't think you're doing it right if you're not having fun serving Jesus, because it is fun serving God. It is a blast serving God. And so, of course, we started that in 1998?
Seven?
97? Okay. This is our 13th year? So, one of those 2 years. We started it, and we did it behind the church. And we had, I think, a little bit of we had just a one piece of concrete out there that was the width of the building, Y'all remember that? Anybody remember when we did that? And we thought, we're going to do this and advertise it, and I think we put some flyers out on it or something. We had 350 people, I think, came. I mean, we were in hog heaven. We were picking high cotton, as we say. It was just wonderful. And so we thought, let's do this again next year. Next year we had a little more concrete, and so we spread it out a little more. And start over the years, we changed our booths because it used to be just pipe with strings tied and paper between them.
Yeah.
Boy, they were not wind ready. They weren't storm ready. No. And so we went through some changes on that. But then the next year, we started out with 350. The next year we had about 750 people came the next year. And we thought, woohoo, we got on to something here. Now listen, God didn't speak to us to do it. I believe in word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I believe in personal prophecy. I believe God leads, very strongly, passionately many times for us to do certain things. God told me to come to West Point, Texas and pastor this church. There's no question in my mind. I knew it. He spoke to me. He told me to do it. I couldn't get away from it when I'd pray. I remember when God called me to teach in 1976, very strongly. I had a vision of my hometown. God called me to teach very, very emphatically. No question, supernatural. But a lot of things that we do, and most things that we do, are not things that God just supernaturally speaks to us to do. They're just good things that we do, and God will bless them.
Yeah,
and I know, Kay and Brenda got together and did that, and we did that. You know what? It was a success, and people started coming, and we saw that we were able to minister to kids, some kids that have never been to church, don't go to church, they'll come to Hallelujah Night, and they'll hear about the Lord. You don't know what kind of impact that has. Maybe not right now, but maybe down the road. They may grow up, and year by year they've been coming to Hallelujah Night and having fun serving Jesus, and all these Jesus freaks out here that are smiling all the time, and they have a hole in their heart, and they're missing, and they realize what it is they're missing. You don't ever know. See, this goes on. This goes all way beyond immediate results. Way beyond that. So the third year we got together and we did it. Had a little more concrete out there. Every year we had more concrete. And we had 1,500 people show up. And we thought, not in a bad way, but it did cross my mind, we've created a monster. What are we going to do? I remember talking to Dr. Galloway one time, After it went up to about 3,000, we were going, we can't stop this now. They'd burn our church down. I mean, what would you do? You just call everybody, put it in the paper, we decide not going to have it this year. They'd be picketing us. You know, they'd be on the front. How dare you not do Hallelujah Night? You know, it'd be all up and down the road and in the paper, and Channel 8 News and 4 would come out and goes, you know, church wants to kill Hallelujah Night, you know, or something along those lines. But anyway, we had 1,500. I think the next year after that, we had 3,000. And then it's been about that, up and down, 2,500, 3,000, whatever. Okay. I'm trying to get help. I'm getting no help from the front row. But anyway, we've had up to close to 4,000. I think last year was a little low. We had a lot of rain, didn't rain during it. But I think last year we had around 2,000, 2,500 or so. That's one of the lowest years we've had in several years. And that was because of the weather. And, of course, tonight the weather's going to be beautiful. And the anointing of God is over the top. You know, so there's no telling what is going to happen. But, you know, all we did was decide, like this verse, we decide to overcome evil with good. Edmund Burke said this. He was, you know, he's quoted often on this. He says, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. You know, and we decide, hey, we're going to do something. Let's do something. And you know what? God liked it. I love it when God loves what we do. You don't always have to have a word from God to do good things. In fact, you ought to be doing good things all the time. But the things that God really likes and the things that He really wants you to do, although you may not have a word or a vision or a dream or a prophecy concerning that thing, He will bless those things. And you will begin to see the favor of God, the cloud come, and the fire, the pillar of fire will come. Where the favor comes and the blessing comes, there you recognize what God is trying to bless and want to do. And He has breathed upon Hallelujah Night in this church.
Amen.
Other people have it and are successful. Other people have it not so successful. But I'll tell you, God has blessed us. And we're on the right track. You know, that's what gets me. I know we're in the will of God. I know we're doing what God wants us to do as a church here this night. I know we are other nights. But I know this night, this is right. This is good. This is God. He is blessing it. Amen. And I'm just honored to be a part of it. I'm just pleased. Thank God He used us. Thank God He used me, you, and all of us to make a difference. To not be overcome, but to overcome. Turn to Romans 16. I'll give you a few more verses here while we're in Romans. No, 16th verse. 16th chapter. Is that where I want to go? Yeah. 16. Yeah. 19. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. You know, we could go on and on about all the evils of Halloween and on and on about all the evils of the history of it. I don't know, I've read some of that, I've studied some of that, and so on and so forth. We could go on and on about Satan and how terrible and wicked and corrupt he is, and we know that. But I'd rather be wise to what's good, because it's the good that's going to overcome the evil. In other words, when the devil comes, the good will overcome the devil. I don't need to know about the devil to know that in the name of Jesus, he's got to bow his knee. I don't need to know anything about the devil to know that when I call on Jesus' name and I say in Jesus' name, the devil's got to flee. I don't have to know all the evil in the world to know that righteous living, holy living, standing on God's word will always bring the victory in my life. If I'm not weary in doing good, good will always overcome the evil. I don't have to know the power of the enemy. I don't have to know all the tactics of the enemy. I don't have to know all the devices of the enemy. What I need to know is what God says and what I'm supposed to do, what good is, and do the good.
Amen.
You don't have to be a genius on what the devil's doing. What you want to be excelling in, what you want to be, you know, high academically in and intelligent in, is the good that God wants us to do. And so He says, be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. If you spend your time doing the good, hallelujah, the evil will flee.
Yeah.
I just love that. It's not complicated. If I spend my life, listen, if I spend my life loving people, and I spend my life caring for people, and I spend my life praying for people, and doing things for people, acts of kindness as it were, telling people about Jesus, you know, providing a place for them to come and a safe place for them to come here, a church that they can find out about the Lord. If I spend my time doing all that, I will overcome evil in my world. Yeah, but do you know what's going on? Do you know what's going on? Don't need to know what's going on around the world. All I need to know is the good that I can do today. That's all I need to know. That's what's going to cause me to overcome. What causes me to have the victory is the good that I do. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That tells me good's more powerful than evil. And it is. You know, the devil's just a created being. He's not the opposite of God. God has no opposite. There is no opposite bad God. There's God, and He's good. There was an angel that rebelled against God called the devil, Satan. And there are lots of angels that did not rebel against God. Michael the archangel, I like that one. One of my favorite angels. Gabriel, different ones, you know. The Bible tells us 1/3 of the angels fell, 2/3 stayed with them. So even the devil and his angels are outnumbered 2-1. Before you even bring God into it. Okay? You bring God into it, He loses hands down. And everybody loses. If God's for us, who can be against us? So we win this deal, amen? A lot going on in the world, but praise God, we're going to keep doing good and we're going to keep overcoming because good overcomes evil. Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs 15. Hallelujah. You know we ought to quit whining. Start praising God. Whine about everything going on in the world, you know, and you know, there's things politically going on. We got an election going on. Everybody ought to vote. Go down there and vote. Don't whine. Go down and vote. Vote your Bible. Get the Bible out and just vote it. Go right down the list and just vote for people who stand for it and don't vote for people that don't stand for it. That's pretty simple. I can say that very, very easily and simply. Vote for issues, you know, and vote for people and you know, that do the right thing. Well, what's the right thing? What's real simple? Go in your Bible and find out what the right thing is. It's not right to kill babies. It's not right. Homosexuality is not right. We love people. We're not against homosexuals. If they repent and get right with God, we'll take them in. But that's a sin. So people that would promote that would be somebody you wouldn't want to stand for. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Yeah. You sure are getting political? I haven't got political at all. I'm just quoting the Bible. Are you with me? Just do the right thing. Just do good. It's not complicated. I mean, there may be a million issues out there, but it boils down to good and evil. Good overcomes evil. Amen? I love this, Proverbs 15. First verse says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stir up anger. It's easy to do that talking about politics, that's for sure. I feel like Linus. Remember the great pumpkin Linus? He learned in life there were three things you didn't talk about. You didn't talk about politics, religion, and the great pumpkin. But anyway, that went right by a whole generation just then. There's a whole generation out here went, what was that? Anyway. The tongue of the wise, second verse, uses knowledge rightly or right. But the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. I love that. You know, knowledge is to be used. Some of it is, some of it is not. If it's bad information, don't use it. That's where gossip comes in. That's information that doesn't need to be propagated. It's information that doesn't need to be shared. Did you hear this about so-and-so? Well, what are you doing telling somebody else about it? You need to be praying about it. Amen? That's knowledge that's bad, that's evil. Let's don't do that. Let's overcome that with good. Let's pray for them instead of spread the news. Are you with me? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Not all knowledge is usable. And the way to use it rightly is to help and encourage and bless. You know, God is kind. You know that? God loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. God's gone to great lengths that we could go to heaven. We're the one that messed everything up, not God. God's not our problem. He's our answer. And God reached down to this world and gave His Son to die for our sins that we might go to heaven. He didn't have to do that. He could have washed His hands from the whole thing, could have walked away. It wasn't His mess. It was our mess. He told Adam what to do and he didn't do it. Adam disobeyed God. But out of God's great love, that great love wherewith He loved us, He sent Jesus while we were yet sinners. Cared about us when we were wrong, was merciful to us when we were in sin, and loved us anyway. He didn't compromise His holiness. He didn't compromise what's right and what's wrong. but he shared his love. Amen? That's the way we ought to be. Amen? It says this, the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Let me connect the dots here. I think it's interesting that God sees everything going on, but then the next verse says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, the tongue, breaks the spirit. You know, in a world that's filled with evil and filled with good, and there's good things, and there's bad things, and you know, people even use the excuse, how can I believe in God when I see all the evil in the world? How can you not believe in God when you see all the good in the world? I mean, that X's out the other argument. But the problem with the world is that all we hear about is the evil. The problem with the news is all we hear about is the evil. And that's not how you overcome evil. God beholds the evil and the good, but then he turns right around and says, a wholesome tongue, well, that's a tree of life. So be selective about what you talk about. Don't talk about everything you see, the good and the evil. Talk the good. You know, Jesus said, preach the gospel. Good news. Everybody say good news. He didn't say preach hell, but hell is real. We know it's real. And obviously it comes up, the subject comes up. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. I mean, that is the alternative. There's not another alternative. You got two choices. You stand at the crossroads, heaven or hell. Not like Yogi Bear who says, when you get to a fork in the road, take it. Yogi Bear, he had the craziest sayings. There is a hell, there is a heaven. But see, we don't preach hell, we preach heaven. We don't deny hell, but that's not our message. Hell's not our message. It's not our message that everybody's going to hell. It's not our message that everybody's going to burn forever and ever and ever. The message is that God loves you and you don't have to go there. That's the message. That's what we preach. Hell is real, heaven's real, but we preach heaven, not hell. Do we mention it? Oh, of course we do. I just mentioned it then. But that's not our message. This is evil. This is wrong. This is bad. Well, no, our message is what is good. I'm going to tell you the best way to overcome evil, because the Bible says so. With good. That's the best way to overcome it. What's the best way to overcome Halloween? With Hallelujah Night. Yeah. Right. Hallelujah Night will overcome Halloween.
Right.
Hey, literally by storm it has in our town. I'm not patting myself on the back, not bragging on us. I'm just bragging on Jesus and the power of good and the power of blessing. We set aside a night to help people, bless people, love people, and talk about Jesus and do it free, and it has taken over the town. Wow. We have policemen come out. They come out. We hire two that walk around the grounds, but the rest of them come out too, and they'll, you know, kind of patrol and pull in and drink coffee and eat hot dogs. We ought to get some donuts out there, don't we? We'll get some more. But we'll have four or five of them out here that we didn't even hire, and you know, I've talked to them, and so appreciate y'all coming out. And they said, well, there's nothing going on in town. This town's dead. Everything's out here.
Yeah.
I remember the chief of police. Wasn't Scott Johnson, it was Ricky Willis a few years ago. In the paper, they were talking about Hallelujah Night and interviewed him. He says crime's gone down in our town on October 31st because of Hallelujah Night. Wow. Is that awesome? The chief of police is saying that, you know? So what's happened? Good has overcome evil. We not be neutral now, not be silent, but to stand up and do something good. And not to just point at the evil, not just blast the evil. That's not the message. No, to preach the good and overcome the evil with the good. That's what Hallelujah Night's about. That's what our Christian life is about. Our life is not about getting vengeance. Our life is not about exposing all the evil in the world. Our life is about promoting the good and shining the light of Jesus and letting people see God in us and see a little heaven on earth. Woo. And we don't need to be weary in that. Because I know some ministries that get so sidetracked and out of focus and detoured that their whole ministry is about exposing sin. All they do is expose error in the church. All they do is preach on cults. Stay with me. Nothing wrong with finding out information about cults. I read books all the time. but this is a holy place. To me, it's a holy time, this church time. This is when I should share with you the love of God, share with you the Word of God, help you get on your feet, get your marriage back together, get your family healed, get you prospering, get you shining your light. Hallelujah. This is a very precious time. Don't have a lot of time together here. I ought to be preaching the Word to you and telling you some good stuff that you can take home and chew on.
Amen.
I can spend forever telling you about all that's wrong in the world. But if I don't tell you how to overcome it, if I don't give you some good to overcome it, I've messed up my calling. I hadn't been true to my calling.
That's true.
I am to preach the good news. And the good news is that God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Hallelujah. And you can make a difference. You can make a difference. That's what we're doing. Amen. You know, I think about it good in that sense. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus had a real simple approach to sickness and disease and sin and all. He just went out and started healing people and doing miracles and forgiving people. He had a real simple approach to poverty instead of just exposing it for what it was. He went around giving to the poor to help them get out of their poverty. He did something. The good that he did, you know, we often think about the healing being good, and yes, it is. Healing is a good thing. But in that particular verse, he was saying good was something other than just that. Throughout the Bible, healing is good. We know that. It's a blessing. But it says he went about doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing. See, the church is not just about miracles. It's not just about manifestations of gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for that. We believe in miracles. We believe in healing. We preach it and we pursue those things. But that's not all we're about. We're about doing good too. I'll tell you, it's just as much God our food bank. Helping people that need help with food. And doing something on Halloween like we're doing. Hallelujah night. Helping. That's good. That's doing good. That's doing good. That's doing God things. Because God's into good things. Amen? And that's how we overcome. We have done more to overcome schisms, divisions, exclusivism in our town with Hallelujah Night by doing good than anything I can think of. It has pulled churches together. Whereas we've been kind of separate before, doing good has healed that and pulled together. It's amazing to me how many churches show up on Hallelujah Night. Then in towns like ours, you don't normally see in small towns that many churches coming together and getting along that have that many differences. Are you with me? In their doctrine. What overcame that? Pointing out the differences? No, getting on something we could get in agreement on. Doing some good. I remember going to some of the churches years ago when we were doing all this by ourselves, and it was just overwhelming us. It was getting too big. We couldn't handle it. It was just too many people. We didn't have that many people to run everything. And so I approached the churches, and I remember I met with the pastors, and we have a ministerial alliance where we meet. We have the Thanksgiving service every year. This year we're going to do it at the United Methodist Church in that new building that they just built. But I remember meeting with them, and I met with First Baptist and United Methodist at that time, different ones, and I said, hey, we need some help out here with Hallelujah Night. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking you all to come out and do anything to get it all set up. We're going to still pay for everything, but we need people to help run our booths. And I had all my papers with me because we keep records on who comes. We register everybody that comes. And I just had a list, and I just put it out there on the table. I remember sitting with the ministers, and I said, now, First Baptist minister at that time, I said, now I have 80 of your children that says go to your church that came to our Hallelujah Night last year. And I went to the other, I said, now 60 of your children came that we gave free candy to, free hot dogs, hay rides, everything. Came. Oh, whoa, what do you mean? I noticed here, United Methodist, we had like 60 or 70 of your kids came. They said they go to your church. That's what they said. It's on the paper right there. So I'm just asking you to come out and help us help your children. And they said, and they did. I mean, they thought, you know, I did it nicely. And they were laughing. And I was laughing. I wasn't just blasting them, but I did tell them that. And And they said, well, sure. And so, you know what? From then on, people started, we had people from Calvary Baptist, we had people from First Baptist, people from all over come, and different churches that come, Royce Pollard from Gospel Lighthouse, Lighthouse Ministry, and Chapel of the Lake, and I'm going to miss something if I start naming. But we have people from all these churches come because we're doing a good thing. And it just breaks down all the barriers. I love that. You know, let's get together, amen? Let's do some good stuff. Praise God. That's how we're going to overcome. And 1 Corinthians 15, turn there if you will. Don't worry, I'm just as hungry as you are. I'll let you out of here pretty quick. 1 Corinthians 15. And this has been going on, 13 years now, is that right?
It started in
98. It was 98, okay. Sorry, Larry, you're outvoted. Hey, welcome to my world. 1 Corinthians 15. Notice what it says here in the last verse, 15, chapter 58, verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Boy, that's what you got to remind yourself as the years rock on. And, you know, you get tired, and here we go again. Man, it's a few days of work, and it's a long day on Hallelujah Night, you know, and it goes late in the night. Hey, we are doing some good. Let me tell you something. We are overcoming some evil, and every year it goes by, we're getting a bigger foothold into this thing. It's a generational thing. People are coming with their kids. People are starting to have kids that are coming with their kids that used to come. You know, we got grandparents coming now and bringing up influence on their children. People are raising up. You know, this time of year comes around, they realize, hey, I got to get my kids out. It's Halloween or whatever. Well, let's go to that church. You know, that's so nice out there and it's so safe out there. Hello.
Yeah, that's right.
And they don't even take them out in the street. They just bring them over here to a church. They start looking for a church to go to that night.
Yeah.
Are you getting it? I mean, they're... Get the big picture here. People now, because of Hallelujah Night, and other churches have done this over the United States and different places, but people around here start looking for a church to go to take their kids to on October 31st.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. I'd say we turned some things around, hadn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, when did they, say 20 years ago, get up and say, hey, it's October 31st, let's go find a church to go to? See, we've turned it completely around. Their whole concept's different now. Their whole concept now is let's go to church. Let's go out there. And then we've had people come over the years, you know, that came to Hallelujah Night and they weren't serving God. Years go by and they want to get right with God and they don't know where to go. And they'll say, hey, why don't we go to that Hallelujah Night church?
Yeah.
Don't even know what we're called. The Hallelujah Night church. No, Adam, say that. I've talked to people in stores and they go, oh, you're the pastor. You pastor that Hallelujah Night church out there, don't you? I said, yeah, yeah. I just agree with them, you know. Thank God. So we don't want to be overcome with evil. We want to overcome evil with good. And we don't want to be weary in well-doing, right? We'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Turn to Galatians 6. We'll wrap this up. This helping you?
Yeah.
I just wanted to share with you, but we've already had an awesome service in the worship. I don't know how you top that. But I want to encourage you. We're doing a good thing. We get lost sometimes in the details. You know, we get lost in bagging up the popcorn, you know, or get lost in picking up the toys off the floor and giving them back to the kids. And sometimes we get lost in the work and we get lost in the labor of it, but we forget the big picture and what a difference we've made. What a difference we've made by the power of God, just doing something good. God's got to be grinning from ear to ear. He's got to be looking down on Will's Point this night and thinking, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Think about it. Somebody did something. Thank God they stood up and overcame that. Thank God my people did something. And good overcomes evil. Overcomes it every time. Galatians 6, real familiar verse. Galatians 6 chapter says in the 9th verse, and let us not grow weary with well-doing or doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
That's
And we've proven that over and over. We just kept it going year by year by year. No matter what happens, no matter what the weather, no matter what the day, whether it's a Sunday night, we just keep it going. And you know what? We're reaping, praise God. We're reaping from it. And we're not faint. We're winning. You know, I heard this, and I know I've shared it before. It's the book called Visioneering by Andy Stanley. It was Andy Stanley actually was Charles Stanley, is Charles Stanley's son. He pastors also. But he said this, and I thought it was awesome. I've used it many times. He said, if you're just filling bags with dirt, you get tired of filling bags with dirt. It gets old real quick. But if you realize there's a flood coming and you're filling bags of dirt to build a dike, to keep the water from getting to your place, all of a sudden it puts meaning into the mundane. You know? And so sometimes we get out doing the work, but hey, we ought to do it for Jesus. We got kids coming. They're going to hear about the Lord. We got people who are going to be saved and go to heaven because of what we do this night. Amen. What we do this night is changing the city. What we do this night is changing the destiny of people's lives. And it may not be this year or next year or whenever, but sometime, someplace, someone's going to turn around and come to Jesus because they went to Hallelujah Night at International Outreach Church, October 31st, 2010. And I am glad to be a part of something like that. Amen. Yeah.